has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon. Go to show.
Go to show.
I'm not ready to start. The program's closed on me, so I have to reopen them.
Okay. There's several waiting.
I'm sorry?
There's several of us waiting, so we're okay.
I understand. Sorry about that.
No problem.
has joined.
Good afternoon. I will be with you momentarily. Okay. Because of my delay getting started, I'm not going to, and we've done the Anabakoa earlier today, so I'm not going to be doing our normal process of bringing in the energy of the Hebrew and the different aspects of the prayers that we do the early part of most of our classes on Sunday morning. But we are going to start with a handout that's related to the Seder, because that's what we're needing to prepare for. The more we understand about the Seder, the better off we will be. The handout is, I couldn't find it, so I literally did a local search for Pesach Preparation Class 7. And that link opened up. The link is Kabbalah-Purim-Pesach-Omer-Shavuot-7.htm. So you should be able to find it, and then I'll correct this for next week. I'll have some time to do that, I hope. So the first question we need to ask, what is the purpose of the Seder? In the Haggadah, which is the booklet that we read, that we study really during the meal of the Seder, the answer to this question is expressed by the obligation to view yourself as if you were leaving Egypt this very night. The Rambam, an 11th century sage, changes one word of this obligation. He says the obligation is to show yourself leaving Egypt, not just seeing yourself leaving Egypt. You have to show yourself to the people at your Seder, at that table. Are you truly leaving Egypt? How would you demonstrate that to the people at the Seder? During the course of the meal, during the course of the 15 steps associated with the Seder, you will demonstrate, you will show yourself, not just see yourself, you will show yourself to your people at the Seder how exactly you are breaking free, which is the concept of leaving Egypt, leaving that narrow place, that limitations, which is really a connection to the Satan. It's a connection to the comfort level you feel from your life as it exists. Why does the Rambam change this word, and what is the difference between viewing and showing? The answer also reinforces to us the purpose of the Seder. When one views, it is possible to do this internally within yourself, while showing is an external aspect. It cannot be done solely within yourself. Since the purpose of the Seder is to teach the children, we can understand why the Rambam made this change. By following the steps of the Seder, we are teaching the children. We are showing the people around us, the children and the adults, how we are leaving Egypt and what does it mean to leave that narrow place, the place of limitations. How do we break free from Satan? This is the steps of the Seder. Continuing to read, it is also important that we each think of ourselves as a child, so that the interest and excitement that the children feel will be ours. This also helps the process of developing the consciousness of mind over matter. Is it important that you develop the ability to manifest what you desire? That's what the meaning of mind over matter is. We look at the world. Everybody is different. So when I say we look at the world, you need to consider whether what I'm saying is applies to you. But we look at the world as a process of doing actions that to achieve our goal. I have a job. I work at that job to receive money. I receive the money so that I can buy the things that I want, so that I can pay for my family's upkeep, that I can pay my rent or my mortgage. All of these things are natural events. We understand that. Can I stop working? Typically, no. In most societies, no. In America, there is this idea that I can depend on some of the public trough, so to speak. But ultimately, we know that comes to an end. We have to support ourselves in this society. That's what the society says. That's what every society in human relationships say. So how do I see this supporting of myself? Mind over matter is the ability to recognize that all of what I'm seeing is normal and natural is really the work of Hashem, the actions of Hashem that I do not see directly. But I know that's what happens. And when I know that's what happens, I'm able to overcome this idea. I have to work for a living. I have to support my family. Mind over matter is I manifest that money in an easier way. I have the ability to provide for my family working in an easier way, giving me time to do the study of Torah, giving me time to do other worldly pleasures. Because the study of Torah may not sound like worldly pleasure, but it is the ultimate high, the ultimate height of worldly pleasure. Most people do not understand that. So I'm continuing to read. It is also important that we each think of ourselves as a child, so that the interest and the excitement that the children feel will be ours. This also helps the process of developing of the consciousness of mind over matter. Thus, we have the obligation to teach our children at the same moment that we are acting as children ourselves, that we are feeling this excitement that the children feel. And this paradox helps to create the environment that we can manifest this consciousness of mind over matter. Here is an interesting tidbit of wisdom that you may have never heard. When Rachel was betrothed to Jacob, she told him about her father's deviousness. Jacob was concerned that he would trick him in this area of marriage, and of course he was correct. In order to avoid this, Jacob gave Rachel signs to tell him so that he would know that the woman under the veil was Rachel. Rachel told her sister Leah these signs, and some say she actually hid under the marriage bed and whispered them so Jacob would hear the voice that he expected to hear. What is not well known is the signs were the 15 names of the stages of the Seder. Why is this important? The names of the stages are actually a mnemonic to explain the energy of the action. There are three distinct parts within the Seder itself. These parts are separated by a change in the energy. These three aspects actually represent the potential of the three columns of the Tree of Life within the light of the night of the Pesach. There is never separation within the light, so the columns are at the level of potential, just as the ten sefirot exist in the Ein Sof world, yet only in potential, totally unified. The three parts are referred to in the Kabbalah as Mochin de Katnut, which represents the small brains, but it's described or translated as the youthful part. The small brain, which is separated from part three, which is the Mochin de Gadlut, the adulthood, or the large brain, and the separation between this youth and adulthood is called part two. It's called Gilui Shekhinah, the revelation of the light, or the revelation of Malchut, of the Shekhinah. Excuse me. So you have these three parts, but they're really one. A youth becomes an adult by living a process of growing. That growth is a revelation of the light of Malchut. Is there a difference between a youth and the adult? The difference is the process of growth. The stages that exist in the Mochin de Katnut are Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, and Yachatz. The stages that exist in the Gilui Shekhinah are Ratza, Motzi, Matza, Maror, Korech, Shulchan, Orech. And the stages that exist in Machin de Gadlut are Beirach, Halel, Mirza. Try to remember this as you pass from one part of the Seder to the others. Let's say this, the 15 steps. Urchatz, excuse me, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Now we're moving to a second stage. Rotza, Motzi, Matza, Maror, Korech, Shulchan, Orech. Beirach, Halel, Mir. What is the purpose of the Seder? As everything else, the name of something tells you what it is. Seder means order. Seder is spelled Samach Dalad Resh. Its gematria is 264. Another word that explains why the Seder works as a ritual is Damkar, spelled Dalad Mem Kaf Resh. The meaning of Damkar is blood of the lamb. Damkar is the same gematria as Seder, the blood of the lamb. What is that image that it presents in your mind? By judging, which represents blood, the lamb, one is controlling the month of Aries, which is Nisan. This is my opinion as to why it is called Seder rather than another word, like Min or Paked. My dictionary has seven words that translate as order. Also, by putting order in our table, we put order in our lives. Just as when we clean the chametz out of our house, we're limiting and cleaning the ego that is within our bodies and soul. The Seder obligations. The 15 steps of the Seder are designed to put order into our year. This is one additional technique of overcoming the astrological influence of Nisan and the Aries. Astrological sign of Taleh, which relates to the astrological influence, being battles, wars, fights, and conflicts, all coming from the planet Ma'adim, coming from the Dalet, the doorway. This influence impacts all of these things that are scheduled to happen to us in the present movie that we are participating in presently living. All that is about to happen to us in this coming year gets changed by the 15 steps of the Seder. But if we don't do the Seder, or we do it incorrectly, we just proceed down that path of chaos. By participating in the Seder, we sweeten all these aspects that are mentioned above that happen or will happen during the next 12 months. Even if we do not utilize the tool of binding by striking during the year, participating in the Seder causes us to have less conflicts in our lives. And those conflicts that do happen will be less severe and will happen to be more in our favor. Another obligation is to drink 4 glasses of wine during the Seder. Each glass of wine is preceded by a blessing of the wine. Usually saying a blessing multiple times is considered an inappropriate use of the blessing and a misuse of the name of Hashem. Here is a Jewish treat that explains from a physical point of view why it is appropriate to say 4 different blessings at the Seder. Like almost all festive meals, the Passover Seder begins with Kiddush, which is the sanctification of the day or the action that we just did in prayer. On Passover, however, the first cup of wine is followed by 3 more mandatory cups. The requirement of 4 cups of wine at the Seder is derived from the 4 stages through which Hashem promised to redeem the Jews from the Egyptian slavery. Therefore, say to the children of Israel,
I am Hashem. And one, I will take you out. The Hebrew is Vehoteti, from beneath the burdens of Egypt. And two, I will save you, Wehi Taliti, from their servitude. And three, I will redeem you, Vega'alti, with an outstretched arm and great judgments. And four, I will take you, Vilahakti, for me as a people. We drink four cups of wine to connect to these four redemptions. These are four stages of freedom. There are four steps, the four phases that we need to experience and we need to participate in order to reach the full redemption and be able to see this temple in Jerusalem that exists there now, but people cannot see it. Why can't we see it? Because we are still in servitude to Satan. And we need to break free of that servitude to Satan. We need to follow these four phases, these four steps. These are all interrelated. Let's read them again so we're very clear. The first step is being taken out from beneath the burdens of Egypt, the burdens of the limitations, the narrowness, saving you from their servitude. That's the second step of breaking free from Satan. One is we're doing the actions of Satan. He's influencing us. He's telling us we think we're free. We think we're doing holy actions. But these are what Satan allows us to do. That's what step one and step two break you free from. Step three is Hashem redeeming you with an outstretched arm, but he has to cleanse you of all those judgments, from all those actions you did by allowing Satan to influence you. That's step three, cleansing, by saving you from or redeeming you with an outstretched arm. He reaches out to us. Do we grab his arm? That is the fourth step. When you grab his arm, you are acknowledging that he is taking us for a people. Four cups of wine remind us of the four phases of redemption. Each of the four cups has an independent function at the Seder. The first cup is Kiddush. The second cup is consumed after the section of the Haggadah known as the Magid, in which we tell the story of Exodus as a way of praising Hashem. The blessing on wine is made a second time because significant time has passed since the first cup was blessed. The third cup is blessed after the Berkat HaMazon, the grace after meals. It is customary that after reciting Berkat HaMazon as a group, a blessing is recited over a single cup of wine or grape juice, and it's consumed by the person who is leading the prayer. At the Seder, however, all present bless and drink their own cup of wine. And the fourth cup is consumed at the conclusion of Hallel, that section of Psalms that praise God, the 10 Psalms that praise God. We also have an obligation to lean to our left when we drink these four cups of wine, or even when we eat the matzah during the phase of the Seder. For your information, this leaning is called Hesian. The proper time for leaning begins after the bracha has been recited on the wine or the matzah, but during the recital of the bracha, one should not lean, as it isn't respectful to recite a bracha while leaning. The purpose behind the leaning to the left is that it elevates our right side, our sharing side, above our left side, our receiving side. This indicates that we have a sharing consciousness rather than a receiving consciousness. At the time of the consumption of the wine or the matzah. The physical reason given to children is that a free man is able to recline anytime he wishes, while a slave needs his master's permission in order to recline. By leaning, we demonstrate that we are a free people. But the more we elevate our right side, the more we elevate our sharing consciousness, the better. The names of the Seder stages. Kabbalah relates the 15 stages to the lines in the Tree of Life and the Hebrew letters associated with those lines. Here is your first introduction to this information. The Kadesh is the letter Tav. Why do you think that the Kiddush or the Kadesh is relating to the letter Tav? The letter Tav has the foot pointing out to the left. The letter Tav is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Kadesh is the last letter, the last action of prayer. But it's the new beginning of the higher level of sanctification, which is what the Kiddush does. It manifests the prayer through the drinking of the wine and the saying of the blessing. Urchatz, the letter Nun. Urchatz is the washing of hands. The letter Nun means that we are falling, but it's actually a vaccine against the falling, which is what washing your hands is. It's removing the impurity. It's not a physical impurity, it's a spiritual impurity. And that's the vaccine against falling, which is the letter Nun. Karpas, the letter Mem. We are dipping the parsley, typically parsley, it can be other green vegetables. We're dipping it into salt water. That's with the letter Mem connects to water. Why is it salt water? Why is the sea salt water? And we cannot drink salt water and stay healthy. Why is that? The salt represents the right column. How do we know that? Because it is the color white, where water is the color clear. Water has no color of its own. It only has color from the elements that is within it. Yachatz is the letter Lamed. The letter Lamed elevates you. It goes above the line. What is the action of the Yachatz? If my memory serves me correct, I don't remember what Yachatz is. We'll have to look it up. I'm sure we explain it later on in this handout. But it's the idea of elevating, which is why the letter Lamed goes above the line. The letter Lamed also connects you to Hashem because it's formed of the Kaf, meaning the hand, the palm, and the letter Vav, the hook. It's connecting to the higher world, bringing your manifesting state, your actions, up to the higher world. The Magid, the letter Resh. The Magid is the telling of the story. The letter Resh is the concept of the head, Rosh, but it's also the concept of lack, being poor, having lack. How can the head have lack? If you contemplate that, you'll have an answer to that question. Motzi, the letters Kaf and Pei. What Motzi is the eating of matzah, the saying of the blessing over the matzah. But the letters, why is it two letters? One letter, the Kaf, represents action, because Kaf is your hand, your palm. The letter Pei represents words, a higher level of action. Motza, the letter Aleph. This is where you're eating the matzah with the bitter herb and so forth. As you take these steps, the letter Aleph is that unity. It's the same thing as in taking the intake of breath. You cannot live without that intake of breath. Drawing the air into your lungs. That's what the letter Aleph represents. That's the sound of the Aleph. But what is this idea of breathing? Intaking air into our lungs to be able to live? This is the letter Aleph. Maror, having the matzah with the bitter herb and the lettuce. And the letter is Yud, again, a connection to Hashem, as this is the first letter of his name. Koresh, the letter is Chet. The letter Chet is a letter of unity, but it's a concealed unity, as you'll find that the Koresh is connecting to this as well. The Shulchan Aruch is the letter Tzadi. The Shulchan Aruch is the blessing after the meal. The letter Tzadi. The letter of righteousness. The letter of the Tzadik himself, in itself, himself, herself. The saying of the blessing after the meal is an action that makes us righteous. Tzafon, the letter Dalet. This is the apikomen. This is the dessert. What is the letter Dalet? It's the doorway. The doorway back to that third stage. The Dalet. That represents the doorway. But the word Dalit also means poor or lack. It's the doorway away from lack. That's why it's the dessert. That's why if you've ever tasted that little piece of matzah, that's the afikomen, how much positive energy it has been received by the joy of the children searching for it. all that fun that they have running around the house, being busy with finding the afikoman. All that joy is injected into that dessert. It's just a pizza matzah on the physical level. But the taste is divine because of the joy of the children. The barech, the letter shin. The barech is the blessing and the drinking of the third cup of wine, represented by the shin with the passion. You're already full. Now you're eating, drinking wine again. This is, if you look at the letter shin that we say is connected to fire, which is connected to passion, but it's formed of three vavs. Three times the number six is 18, the word chai for life. The letter shin, passion is life. People do not understand that. Many people are afraid of their own passion. But that's one of the aspects of a marriage. Learning to forgive and reestablish the passion that would happen before the mistake. The problems of life, the problems of marriages are overcome through the letter shin and the berach, the blessing, the connection to Hashem. The Hallel, the 10 Psalms that we say, it also has two letters, but look at the two letters, the He and the Vav. The Hallel, the singing of the 10 Psalms, is what's connecting your lower physical world to the spiritual world represented by the Vav. Nirtzach, the balance of the letters, the Bet, the Gimel, the Zion, the Tet, the Ayin, and the Kuf. Each of these letters takes something to think about. Each of these letters has a meaning, has an energy. Take a look at them, feel them, understand them. As you complete the Seder with the song next year in Jerusalem, as you complete the song in Nirtzach of the death of the angel of death, which Bezrat Hashem will happen tonight. It is very important to say these names at the beginning of the Seder. And also at each stage of the Seder, you say the name of the Seder, of that stage. It's important to say it because words manifest. As we learned, even just talking about what I said earlier in the 15 steps. Most people don't know about the letters that connect to the stages, but go ahead and say the letter names as well. The following is a general description of the process of freedom, exodus, and redemption. As is well known, Hashem himself went into Egypt to perform the 10th plague. Where Hashem goes, light is revealed. This is the light of Pesach, which returns each and every year at the same instant. This light of Pesach is the same light that is revealed on Shavuot, with one difference. It's important to know this difference and to understand its impact. Hashem decreed that this light of Pesach is a free gift. This means that there is no bread of shame attached to it, You don't have to earn the light of Pesach. It's the same light as the light of the Torah. It's the same light that is revealed on Shavuot. It's the same light that is revealed on the holiday of Hanukkah. But on Pesach, you don't have to do anything. It's there for the taking, and you have no obligation to merit it. You're not judged because you use it and don't merit it. It's free. It's a gift from Hashem. But right after the Seder, right after the evening, after we go into midnight, as Chesed comes back into the universe and pushes the Giborah out, the darkness away, at this point, that light of Pesach is gone. If you're energy sensitive and you do two Seders, you recognize the difference in the energy of the first night and the second night. Most people are not energy sensitive and they don't recognize this difference. But it's very real if you are energy sensitive. That first night is free to us. It's there to be pleasured, to enjoy. But you don't have to earn it. It's the only night of the year you don't have to earn the revelation of light. It's just there for you to use. It's a taste. If you don't get the taste, you don't strive for it to return. You don't want to do the work. But it will return on Shavuot, but there's a difference. On Shavuot, we have earned it through the counting of the Omer. And we'll discuss more of that later on. The light of the Torah has bread of shame. We have to earn it through the counting of the Omer. There is no reason for you to be hungry at the Seder. It takes a long time as you go through the early steps. I've had seders that started the dinner at 11 o'clock at night. People don't understand it. And those days, my mother ran the seders. She prepared the food. And she didn't know. So except for the children, we went hungry. There was no snack on the table to eat while we were waiting. The closest we got to that was the boiled eggs, and they ran out quickly. We were hungry. You do not have to be hungry in the Seder. Put fruit, put vegetables on the table. Put eggs on the table. Enjoy. There's no reason to be hungry while you're going through the steps of the Seder. So we are beginning the understanding of the steps of the Seder. The Kadesh is a Kiddush, essentially manifesting the Chokmah, the wisdom energy that was connected with during the preceding prayers. Usually these prayers are said prior to the Seder by the Orthodox community. Kabbalistically, it is explained that spiritual energy needs to be manifested in something physical. In the case of the Kiddush, we manifest the spiritual energy of Chokmah, of wisdom that we bring down with us from the prayers, into the wine, which is a physical item. We use wine, yud, yud, nun, sofit, ayin, in Hebrew, due to its energy, which is revealed through its regular gematria of 70 plus plus 3 for the kolel of each letter. So the gematria of ayin with the kolel is 73. And 73 is the gematria for the word chachma. The kadesh is said by the leader in most seders. There are some communities that have each man or person do their own kiddush. Kadesh is Aramaic for kiddush. Either minhag is acceptable. It is important for each person to drink their own cup of wine, as this is the first of the four cups. Essentially, when the person says the kiddush prayer, and you answer amen, you are literally creating returning lights. And effectively, that's a better, stronger, more important aspect of the circuit of energy that is done by the prayer, the blessing of Kiddush, and your amen that creates the completion of that revelation of light. The first cup of wine in the Kadesh, it's good to meditate it on the letter Yud, because the four cups of wine relate to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Hey Vav Hey. So meditate on the Yud as you drink that wine. There are 69 words in the Kiddush that is said on Pesach. Actually, this refers to the 69 people that Jacob took within him to Egypt. Of course, the Torah says that there are 70 since the wife of Levi was pregnant with Jochebed, the future mother of Moses. This is the first hint to the concept and energy of the redemption, which is brought about by the Redeemer. If Pesach is on Shabbat, we add an additional 51 words, so we have a total of 120 words. This year it will not be on Shabbat. Which letter that we've assigned to each of the 15 stages, which line in the Tree of Life glyph goes to which letter? There's a disagreement. In discussing the Seder, we're using the Ari's information. By studying the Sefer Yetzirah, you will begin to learn about the Machloket, about which letter goes with which line. And it depends on which root of your soul. As said above, each stage is attached to a letter and a line that flows between the sephirot of the Tree of Life. Kadesh is the Keter of the Seder, but the Malchut of the revelation of the light. Kadesh is a vessel while the fulfillment is the light. From the standpoint of the light, Kadesh is Malchut. In the Tree of Life, there is only one line that flows into Malchut, and that line flows from Yesod. The letter that is attached to that line is the Tav, as makes perfect sense, because it's the end. The last letter of the Aleph Bet is also the end letter, the end line that's flowing from Yesod down to Malchut. Let's go to the next stage. Urchatz, the washing of hands. Normally, when we wash our hands, we do so with a bracha and a ritual. Everyone washes their hands, while no other culture or religion washes hands as a spiritual action, to my knowledge. This particular washing of the hands is unusual, and that not all people at the community seders participate physically with washing their hands. Only the head of the seder does this action, and he does it without a bracha. He has a consciousness of this action that he is doing. Is including all of the other people at the Seder. Normally, we wash our hands for cleanliness and to prepare our consciousness to eat food. This washing of the hands is different. It is the epitome of washing my hands of it. It is the physical world. I leave behind all of the negativity of the physical world. And I rise to meet, to greet my lasting fulfillment coming from the Sefirah of Netzach. The line that connects the Sefirah of Netzach to the Sefirah of Yesod, which is considered Malchut, is connected to the Nun, spelled with both forms, Nun Vav Nun Sofit. Please notice both forms of the Nun within the spelling of the name of the letter. The simple form represents the microcosm level, or the looking within of the humble attitude. Humbleness as an attribute. The final form represents a stronger, more confident level that is prepared to go outward into the macrocosm, into the universe at large. I'm going to now go down to the parsley, to the karpas. When the word karpas is part of the Seder plate that we build step by step, one of the items on the Seder plate is the karpas. If we break it into its component syllables of kar and pas, it translates as striped sheep. This is a hint to the DNA manipulation and the correction of all the genetic diseases. It also hints back to Jacob impacting the physical DNA of Laban's sheep and receiving his just reward and Parnassah for his work for Laban. Thus, the karpas is being hoed relates to the sustenance for all. Also, karpas has a gematria of 360, which is the same as the sequence Mehashia, or Mem He Shin Yud He. Mem He Shin is the fifth of the 72 names and represents the name used for healing. But here we're given the gasoline that's associated with the upper name of Yah, Yod-Heh. Thus we see that Hod on the Seder plate represents both healing and Parnassah. Thus we see that Parnassah and healing are two aspects of the same thing. Healing is sometimes necessary to fix the flow of Parnassah. This is the last step, the karpas. The fourth step of the youthful section is yachatz, which is the breaking of the middle matzah. That's what I forgot. There are three matzahs that we put on the community seder plate at the head table of a community seder. These three matzahs are named Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
or Israel. These three matzahs, we take the middle one out and we break it. The little piece we put back in the middle of the two other matzahs. But the big piece becomes the afikoman the children search for, that their joy is going to entertain us, and it becomes the dessert of the Seder. We're going to stop here as we're out of time, and we will pick up the stages next week as we continue our preparation. We only have one more Sunday for the preparation, so hopefully we will complete all 15 steps. But I highly recommend that you read about the 15 steps in this handout number 7, and also there's a number 8, which completes the 15 steps. If you have any difficulty finding it, send me an email or a text requesting the information for the link. Does anyone have any questions? May you all have a beautiful Rosh Chodesh, a beautiful Shavuot Tov, a beautiful week, a beautiful month, and a beautiful year. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you. Very good lesson.
Thank you. I'm trying to add things every year. Just I don't write them down.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about the three stages, though. So I'm glad I was here today. Actually, your link is on for 7 and 8.
Okay, I couldn't. I was having a very interesting morning, let's put it that way.
I think we all were. Okay, have a good day.
You too.
Hope to see you.
Shalom. Bye.
Shalom.